This is Dom Bettinelli, the CEO of SQPN, with a brief but very important message. For more than a decade, SQPN has produced the Catholic faith and pop culture podcasts that you love. We're a nonprofit organization, so it's only your generosity that lets us carry out our mission. We haven't run a fundraiser in 2 years, and that's why we need to ask for your help right now. Please make a pledge of whatever amount you can afford to help us continue providing your favorite podcasts, as well as exciting new ones we have planned. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give. Thank you for your generosity. May we hear from you today?
You're listening to Let's Talk Episode 30, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stika here. Welcome to our SQPN Community Podcast, Let's Talk. Glad you joined us again. As you can hear, my voice is a little rough, but hopefully be able to get through it. Unfortunately, I missed our recording of Secrets of Doctor Who this previous week because of this lovely cold, and that wasn't a lot of fun because that was actually a good episode. I wanted to talk about that one, but... As you can probably hear, Dom has joined us today. How's it going, Dom?
Good, Father Corey. Yeah, you missed a great one. It might have been our best episode ever. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, probably because I wasn't on it. No. Actually, some of our rant episodes, I think, are our best episodes ever.
Yes. Folks on the live stream, we're live streaming today. We'll see my lights are blinking. Someone just rang the doorbell, and I have it set up so that the lights blink when the doorbell rings in case I'm recording. But I forgot that when we're doing a live stream, people can see that, so...
It's not a nuclear warning.
No. Oh,
the missiles are crazy. Flying. We're not going to make it. No.
But it's great that we're doing another Facebook live stream, and hopefully we can do this more often so folks can join and participate. If you go to our Facebook page, if you search for SQPN on Facebook, and find our page there.
Yeah. So I got some friends of mine that have follow the link that I've shared, and welcome to you guys. For those who don't know, since we're doing this live, may as well mention I've been involved with SQPN for a while, and this is kind of our community podcast where we talk about whatever we think is of interest to the community. Just to introduce, Dom is the CEO of SQPN. He's kind of the one that keeps things running and keeps things going, and we get together on Saturday mornings, not just Dom but many other panelists, to talk about just topics of interest. And I think we've got some good interest. But before we get into that, how are things going for you, Dom?
Good. It's it's actually a really warm Saturday here in the Boston area. It's going to get up to 50.
Wow, nice.
Which is crazy. But today, after we're done, the kids and I and my wife, we're going to go get our Christmas tree.
Nice.
And now, have you heard, up there in Montana, you probably don't have this problem, but I've heard that there's a shortage of trees, like that a lot of places are running out, or that there's that the pickings are slim at this point.
I haven't heard anything, but admittedly my decoration of trees is to pull the one out of the box that I've had for a few years and put it up on a table. It's one of those little like four foot tall trees or whatever, the ones you put on a table.
Yeah. I know. I'm always starting to go that route again. Sometime in the future. My wife, who has allergies, she leans that way. But you just, the kids love the real tree.
Oh yeah. There is something about a real tree. There really is. I mean, the smell, and we had one when I was a kid where it had the little pocket at the bottom, or little pouch at the bottom, where it had an air freshener. Basically, that was not the same thing.
No,
just the smell, the feel of it. They have to clean up the needles. Yeah, you have to keep it watered. But there's just something about a real tree.
Right. It's worth the work.
Yeah, I haven't done much decorating here, but of course, I really don't do a lot of decorating. Of course, I've got the church. The church is always decorated so beautifully.
Right.
And then when I was at seminary, we never I never decorated because I was gone during the Christmas season. You know, we would leave right before Christmas and come back after New Year and wouldn't really get to enjoy the decorations while we were there. So,
right.
Yeah, it was never really did that. But I should probably find that tree and get it pulled out. I know where it is. It's sitting in one of my junk rooms downstairs, of which I have many.
It feels like this. I mean, I say this every year, I suppose, but it feels like Christmas is like this is the third weekend of Advent. Tomorrow is the third Sunday of Advent, and it has, you know, snuck up on me once again. I mean, it's not like I don't know what's coming, you know, but it's like the older I get, the faster these seasons fly by.
And this is technically one of the shorter Advents. Last year was the shortest Advent could be.
Yes.
Because Christmas was on Monday. So,
right. And the fourth Sunday, I remember that all the priests who are like, oh, I have to do the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve.
Yep, exactly.
That was a long day.
And heaven forbid you actually say, you know, maybe we should just cancel Christmas Eve and do everything on Christmas. Oh, the knives came out with that one.
So, we could talk about it a little, I guess, but for us, my family, we do Midnight Mass because it's,
sure.
You know, the kids love it. We love it. But I don't get the, like, I mean, I get why people want to go to Christmas Eve. They want to get, you know, they want to go so that they can get up on Christmas morning and just relax in their pajamas and, you know, open presents and then have dinner. I get that. But man, the parishes that I've been to, especially like my parish and other parishes, the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock masses are just crazy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nuts. And I don't want to have any part of that. That's not fun for me.
Yeah. That's the same here is the 4 o'clock mass we'll have on Christmas Eve on Monday will be just absolutely jam packed, which is great. I love seeing it. I love seeing that church pole. I wish we could see it more. But then I won't have a Christmas Eve mass because we would have 20 people maybe at Christmas Eve or Christmas midnight mass.
Right.
And as much as I love Midnight Mass, I love it. And I want to bring out the smells and the bells and do it all right, you know, and have the carols and the whole works.
Right.
In this community, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so I'll have a usual Sunday schedule. And the Sunday Mass here in Malta won't be too bad. And the two mission masses, they'll be pretty good. But yeah, the 4 o'clock mass is, that's when all the kids come. Cause then they can do the, you know, the Christmas Eve dinner and they can open the gifts. And I understand that. I really do. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. But folks, if you want a quiet spiritual experience, you know, maybe think about going in the morning, you know, getting up, getting dressed and going to mass. Because it is a quiet spiritual experience.
Yes, it is.
Without any of the craziness. Our friend Father Chip, his parishes, he's got two parishes, and they have something like between the two of them, like seven masses.
Oof.
On Christmas Eve.
Now, is he the only priest there?
No, there's two of them, and then they have several retired priests who help out.
Oh, that helps then. So he's not going to be running that insanely.
Yeah, but it is still like pretty insane.
Yeah.
In fact, he's still not. He had some leg problems this year.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And so he's not getting around very fast. So I'm not even sure what he's going to do with that. So
he might do like the first mass and the last mass, and you know, have time to recover in between.
Right. And they have simultaneous masses like in the church and in the school hall and God, like you said, God bless them. I'm glad the people are there.
Exactly.
I wish it was like this every Sunday. We had
exactly.
But it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have that problem. And you hear places like Boston and Chicago like that, where that used to be Sunday. Sundays used to be like that on a regular basis, where they would have like the church mass and then the parish hall and the basement mass, you know, at the same time, things like that.
I remember as a kid that there were plenty of there were times when there were masses upstairs and downstairs, and, you know, and if you didn't like or getting so full, getting stuck way in the back. Like,
oh, yeah.
And like as a kid, I'm like, I can't see nothing.
Yeah,
and
I'm you're standing in the back. Over.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but I remember those days. It's we'll get those again.
Yep. And so there's much to look forward to here in the next week and a half. And of course, you know, every priest on December 26th, don't call the rectory. Don't stop by. The church isn't open because the priest is asleep.
Yes. Recovering. That's why Christmas is an octave. It's 8 days.
Yeah.
That's how long it takes for priests to recover.
Exactly. I'm kind of glad it's a New Year's episode of Doctor Who this year instead of Christmas.
Yes, then we don't have to record on the 26th.
Which we did it and had fun doing it, but...
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, even just for me, like, having to, like, think about that, you know, on my Christmas with, you know, family and going to visit and stuff like this and trying to coordinate, all right, when am I going to go, you know, get back and,
actually watch episode this. We need to talk about? Yeah.
Right, right. And like, when watching Doctor Who or any of the shows that we do shows about, to prepare to talk about it isn't just sitting back and watching. Yeah. You got to take notes and you stop and pause. And,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it, but it's right. It's work.
Yeah,
it's
that's
work.
Well, that's I try to watch especially new episodes twice. I'll watch the first time just to watch it, just to you know, let it kind of filter in. And then the second time is when I do, I've got the notepad and I'm taking notes and I'm pausing and things like that. You know, it's because it takes a little bit more work to prepare for for one of these recordings. And we're going to be talking, you know, kind of a teaser. We're going to be talking about some of the newer shows we're going to be preparing for in the future here on SQPN.
Oh, yeah.
So we should probably actually get into our topics of choice since we've been talking about Christmas anyways.
Right.
You know, of course, with Christmas comes the Christmas music, the carols that go along with it, you know, and we've all got our favorite Christmas hymns, Christmas songs. There are, of course, secular Christmas, quote unquote, holiday songs and things like that.
Right.
You know, what are some of the songs for you, Dom, that just you look forward to them? You just can't wait to hear them again at Advent or Christmas even, you know. Of course, they've kind of blurred the two. They consider Advent songs Christmas songs, but there are very different Advent songs versus Christmas songs.
Right. So for me, Christmas music. And I start listening to Christmas music as soon as I can. Not like in October, but I mean, like, once Advent starts, it's like I'll listen to Advent music, but I start to listen to Christmas music too because I just love Christmas music. And in fact, I had a pastor who said, we should listen to Christmas music. Like the religious stuff that talks about Jesus all year round because it's Christmas is the birth of Jesus is important and we should celebrate it all the time. But for me, I divide it into Christmas music and Christmas hymns or carols.
Right,
you know what I mean. So for me, the Christmas hymns or carol that I really love, I think for me the last couple of years has been the biggest for me is In the Bleak Midwinter. It's based actually on a 19th century poem. My wife, who's the poet, would correct me on that. But it's it comes out of England, and the first time I heard it and recognized it was a YouTube video, which I'll have to get I'll have to put the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
But a YouTube video from I'm gonna say it's Gloucester Cathedral or one of the cathedrals, Anglican cathedrals, and they had a boys' choir, and then at one point, the entire congregation joins, and it's like a midnight mass or Anglican service, Christmas Eve, and it was so beautiful. It's such a beautiful. I don't know. You gotta give it a listen because I just love it. It's just so such a Christmas Eve song, sort of like Silent Night is.
Right.
So like that. So that's I'd say my favorite Christmas hymn/carol.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. And I love a lot of the ones we learned as a kid, you know, Silent Night and Away in a Manger and all those. And of course the more fun ones, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, things like that. Of course, again, there are songs that I enjoy that I don't want at mass, you know? So, you know, Little Drummer Boy, I've had musicians want to do that at mass. I'm sorry. It's not a hymn. It's a popular tune that happens to sort of maybe have something to do with Jesus. And I like it. I'm one of those.
I was going to say that reminds me of one, the Dominic, the Italian Christmas Donkey. That one, That one has a special place for me, of course.
Of course.
Drives my wife nuts that when I play it. I can only play it like once a year, and the kids love it. But yeah.
Well, I've got enough of a. People might not believe it, but I actually have enough of a soft side where I'll watch the Bing Crosby, David Bowie version of Little Drummer Boy every year. You know, I love it. But again, don't want it at church. But for at Mass, I always look forward to doing the Silent Night and Away in the Manger. My biggest one, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Oh, yeah.
The Gloria, yes.
Yes. The Hark the Herald Angels Sing as well. I mean, that's another one.
Those as well, where you could just really belt them out. And everybody knows them. I love picking music at Christmas time, because this is the one time where everybody knows them and everybody actually sings.
Yes.
Even the most modern progressive musician knows better than to not have those songs.
right. We actually have a comment from the live Facebook stream. Sheena Persley says, I told my husband, if it's in the hymnal, it's not Christmas music, it's gospel music, and thus acceptable to listen to any time of the year. I agree, Sheena. That is
absolutely
an excellent point.
Yeah. She is a friend of mine over in Harlem. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Harlem's for those who don't know Montana geography, which is like basically everybody but the Montanans watching, it's about 45 miles from here, so
okay,
next town.
Great.
Over. But
awesome.
Yeah, of course, there are the secular ones that we enjoy as well, and White Christmas, everybody thinks of that, and
Johnny Mathis, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Perry Como. I'm a softie for all the classic old stuff. And I'll be honest, even some of the new stuff that people don't like, I like it. Like, I'm blanking on the name. But some of the, like John Legend has a nice one that we were listening to last night. But even like, Santa Baby, what's her name?
Madonna.
Not Madonna. She does Santa Baby. She belts it out. Mariah Carey. She does one. Drives my wife crazy. She does not like any of the modern Christmas music stuff. And in fact, it's become a little point of contention in our house, because I'm one of these guys like, no, we have to say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. I'm like, oh, it's Christmas, not generic holiday.
Right.
It's holiday time. No, it's Christmas time. And but yet she's like, but you listen to all this generic non-Christmassy music, like it's like this secularized Christmassy music. I'm like, yeah, I'm not consistent on that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nostalgia.
Yeah, it is interesting, because some of that stuff is good, some of that stuff gets a little it's barely holiday related. I wish I could remember, but in the, again, going back to Doctor Who and the Doctor Who holiday specials, for a while there was a Christmas song from a kind of a punk band in Britain that they always played.
Oh, I've got that one. I play it all the time. It was in the episode where they had the face hugger creatures, remember the sleepers? And the girl had to cross this room without thinking about them. So she was playing the song and dancing to it. And I'm vamping so I can bring it up really quick. From my iTunes.
Well, and then it'd be playing like they'd show a character in auto shop, and it'd be playing in the background or things like that.
Right.
But
let's see. I'll find it really quick and then and tell you because that was from a few years ago, and it was 2017. Was that the 2017 episode?
I don't remember.
I think it was even before that.
It was 2016. We don't want to get too geeky here for some of our listeners. But anyways.
My goodness, it's been a long time. We've been doing that. I'll find it. When I find it, I'll remind you what it was.
But anyways, there are the secular ones out there, and some of them aren't too bad, but some of them are a little interesting, shall we say. There's been kind of a controversy over one of the secular ones. Of course, everybody's seen it. Baby, It's Cold Outside, that's so horrible. It's so sexist. And radio station in Cleveland, I think it was, stopped playing it, even though they were like a 24-hour Christmas music station. And it's been kind of an uproar. And And you know, the funny part is the song is a couple flirting.
Right. So that's the thing. So the complaint is that the song is, people say, oh, it's a song about assault. You know, yeah. The guy spikes her drink, and it's very, so it's like it's date rape or, you know, yep. or that sort of thing. But when you actually find out about it, and you actually look into the people who first performed it and recorded it mm-hmm. 60 years ago or whatever it was, they say, you know, and they said at the time, no, like she, at one point she says, oh, what's in this drink? It's very, you know, I'm feeling kind of woozy. It's not that they spiked it with a roofie. It's that it's a strong drink. Oh, mm-hmm. and she's flirting like, oh, I'm acting very flirty because I've drank a strong drink. Maybe exactly. Or maybe not. You know, it's a flirty song. I mean, whether it's a good Christmas song or not, maybe yeah. It's not. And it's really, and like I said, it's, I think it falls in the more wintry songs.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing Christmassy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I mean, is this a battle we have to fight? Is this a, you know, something we have to get all upset about? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it had to be rape because, you know, the one video, I think the first version of it, Khan was the man. Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban.
For those who don't know, the actor Ricardo Montalban played Khan in Star Trek, both the original yes. series episode and the second movie of the original series crew.
Yeah. And if you're old enough, he was also Mr. Rourke of Fantasy Island.
The plane.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Yeah. In the fine Corinthian leather.
Which car was that?
That was Chrysler. I remember that as a Mopar fan. Of course, you know, they were the little K yeah. cars, so they were cheap little cars, but they had the fine Corinthian leather.
I don't think it was the K car that had the Corinthian leather.
No, it was the one before that. It was the, it was their, you know, big luxury yacht.
Yes.
Before the K cars came out. That's right.
Yes. My dad had a K car. I think it was a Dodge Aries or something.
Yeah.
But yes, I remember those. Yes. The Yugos of their day.
Yeah. Actually, they saved the company because they were actually pretty decent cars for what they were.
Alfredo Barunda says in the chat room that it was a Cordova.
Cordova. That's right.
Yes. Thank you, Alfredo. Yeah. So anyway, that's a tangent, but
anyways, you know, it was, yeah, it's just, it's silly. And actually there, I will have to find the article and put a link to it, but there was a link by a woman who's a self-avowed liberal feminist who has no problem with the song.
Right.
But of course she frames it where all in the culture, you know, the woman had to play coy. The woman had to kind of play off, oh, no, I really don't want this, while really saying, yes, I want, you know, I want to stay over for the night. You
right,
know, which is, right. I mean, that could be a very legitimate way of looking at it, where the song is just, you know, again, they're flirting, they're having fun with it. They're like, oh, I really should go, but you know, give me an excuse to stay, type of.
Right, right. I mean, to be honest, unless they're married, that is an imprudent thing in general. Okay, we can stipulate that if unless they are a married couple, her and him debating whether she should stay overnight, that is not a moral. Activity for them to be engaged in. We will stipulate that right off the bat.
Oh, absolutely. You know, from a Catholic viewpoint, if this is just a, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend or a one night stand, yeah, that's not supposed to happen. But
right. But it's not the worst thing or the other thing that people are saying that it is. It's not that either. So it's the funny thing is if you go to like the Billboard charts this month, That song has rocketed to the top of the charts for sales and plays, and it's like, you're having the opposite effect, folks. In fact, I heard about a station in San Francisco where they had so many people call in favor of the song that they put it back on the playlist.
Yeah, the original station in Cleveland, I think they ended up saying, okay, this was stupid. Who knows? Maybe it was a publicity stunt?
Yeah, maybe. So Pastor Dustin in the chat room says that the newer Khan is much, much better, the Benedict Cumberbatch Khan. And I'm sorry, Pastor Dustin, that is heresy.
Yes, as I typed in the comments, heresy!
That's right. No one is a better con than Ricardo Montalban.
Nothing against Benedict Cumberbatch. He's a heck of an actor.
Yes, but
he can't. He can't hold a candle to Ricardo Montalban.
No way.
But maybe that's just because I grew up with. So.
Yeah. Also in the chat room, Sheena says that it's the song "Baby It's Cold." It's two people in love. And she says, I assume her and her husband, spent many years dating and not wanting to part. And that, you know, I my wife and I were there. You know, there were plenty of nights where we stood standing at our door talking for an hour and a half. We were famous for that. Standing at the door, her hand on the doorknob, talking for 2 hours.
Sure.
Before she went home or I went home, you know, vice versa. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what it is. It's, you know, it's people in love.
Yeah. So it's you know, it can't be a good holiday season without some controversy, though, you know.
I know. At least they're not arguing about Starbucks cups or something silly.
Well, I haven't even heard that this year yet, so, and maybe it's out there. But, you know, again, that was another tempest in a teapot type of
yes, so to controversy. Speak, or maybe a tempest in a coffee pot.
Pun intended.
You know, actually, that reminds me. So we, Dunkin' Donuts, of course, is Boston. So this is Dunkin' Donuts' hometown, and Dunkin' Donuts is huge here. Their holiday cups, quote unquote, their Christmas cups, say joy on them. Mm. And it's interesting. They don't say, you know, happy holidays, they don't say Merry Christmas, they say joy. And I was thinking about it, like, you know what? That has a resonance. I mean, because that's what, when you get into the theological meaning of joy, joy isn't just happiness, it's not necessarily merriness. It's about a state of being and almost a satisfaction in God, a trust in God, a peace in God, you know, in mm-hmm. trusting in God, that is essential to Christmas.
And absolutely.
You know, if you wishing people joy at Christmas time is an appropriate
absolutely
sentiment. Yeah,
absolutely. So
I think that was a good choice on.
And it's something that could be considered innocuous to most people. No one's going to say, yes. No, I don't want you to have joy. Who would say, well, I know some people who would say that because you're the wrong type of person, but that's another story.
Right. Right. There are some curmudgeons out there. Maybe that's for the people who haven't yet drank their coffee yet.
Bah humbug.
And then they drink it, and then they have joy, and it's Christmas time again.
No, yeah, don't get me on that tangent. But anyways.
So other songs, I think the next controversial Christmas songs, we should have a controversy about Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, I love that.
He's not wearing any pants and he smokes a pipe. So therefore, it's a bad influence on kids.
Well,
or Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You have a creepy stalker who gaslights kids. Yeah. You know, if you're not good, I'm going to give you coal.
Yeah. Well, then you got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is they only accept him when he's useful.
It's bullying and it's like, oh, please, please, folks. I mean, just accept it. Like, things, it's not even just that it was a product of its time and that we have to accept it because it was old. It give things the benefit of the doubt. Things are not as, you don't have to take things to their worst possible conclusion or possibility. You know, that's the thing that we have to do. We have to stop so often just leaping to the worst conclusion, the worst thought, you know, mm-hmm. Let's just take things for what they are and what they offer. What was the other, the Charlie Brown
Thanksgiving that was racist and
right. Because the one kid who's black is alone on one side of the table or something during one of the scenes. It's like, seriously? I mean, do some Kremlinology and look at the scene and show that there are several desserts on that and plates on that side of the table. So obviously he wasn't sitting there by himself mm-hmm. and people had got up from the table, but it's a cartoon. It's an animation. No one is purposely like looking. How do I sneak in some racist commentary?
Remember people that I said would be offended by, you know, being, you know, would be upset saying you shouldn't have joy. These are those kind of people.
Right.
They're not happy unless everybody else is unhappy. I'm sorry. And that's so much of the uproar that we have today. So anyways, try to get off of that. That's another rant for another day because
It's Christmas time.
We should be happy. We should be joyful. You know, of course, by the time you're listening to it, it'll be just a week until Christmas. Have you got your Christmas gifts yet?
Oh, yes. Yes. I am a married man, which means I only have to buy one Christmas present.
Ah, yes. You're fortunate.
My wife and I, we consult on it, but she does all the heavy lifting of actually buying everything online.
Well, I have the advantage of that I get to see my parents after Christmas, which means after Christmas sales before I go and visit them.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what we do, actually, which is a tradition we picked up from Melanie's family, my wife, Melanie, is we actually give most of the presents on the Feast of the Epiphany.
There you go.
So Christmas morning, there'll be stockings and one gift from Santa. So, you know, Santa goes on his schedule and stockings, and that's that. And then, but, you know, the family gifts and all that sort of stuff, that's on the Feast of the Epiphany, which that's when Jesus got his presents, and that's when we'll, you know, that's when we get ours. So, it has the benefit of the sales.
Yeah. Yeah, you get all the good stuff after Christmas, you know.
Exactly.
Admittedly, I'm not a very creative gift giver, so I think there's going to be a lot of gift cards going out, but.
Well, what is it Father Chip said when we were talking about our Christmas gift guide? It was cash is fits everybody. It's always the right size. And
it's always in season.
It's always in season. That's what it is.
Yeah, it never goes out of style. It never goes out of style and always fits.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So hopefully, folks, you've gotten to do your Christmas shopping. I have to follow up, by the way. When we did our Christmas gift guide, we mentioned a couple of Catholic artisans who have Etsy stores or, you know, they do some stuff. And they reported that they definitely heard from our listeners, had an uptick gift buying, which makes a couple of Catholic families have a merrier Christmas in for that respect. So if you've missed that episode, go back and check it out. It was number 28. So it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And there's some great links in there. And you might not get things in time for Christmas, but maybe for Epiphany and for all year round.
Yep.
There's great stuff in there. In fact, door number 9, Elisa had a new one. A new thing in her store. It was a stamp, and I forget what it was. She has these great stamps. Like one was like heretical material for research purposes only. But she had another one that I love, and it was a reference to a movie. Now I'd have to go find it. But there's lots of great, fun, geeky, and Catholic stuff in there, and I highly recommend you go check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is a good time to maybe shift a little bit to a little bit of a break. And, you know, there's something, if you're doing your Christmas shopping, you can help SQPN. Isn't that right, Dom?
There is. As we approach the Christmas, which is the day that we remember the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ, the gift of the world. And we're in a giving spirit as you're doing your Christmas shopping. Perhaps you can also remember a gift for us at SQPN, to put it bluntly, and not very diplomatically, because I'm not really good at fundraising language. But what I'm saying is SQPN, we're in our fund, our giving campaign. We're raising money for our future budget, which pays for the production of all these shows. You know, we have a bunch of shows that we're offering you now. All of the secret shows. We do Let's Talk. Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, which people are loving. We're going gangbusters. And it's great, but we have costs in doing this. Part of those costs is we have to doing all this stuff requires a lot of time. And frankly, we have we needed a full-time person to run all of this. It's really a 40-plus hour a week job to coordinate all these things. And so earlier this year, the board of SQPN said if we're really going to step out in faith, that this is what God has called us to do, is to explore the intersection of faith and pop culture through these podcasts. We need to ramp up what we're doing, and we're going to hire a full-time CEO, which was me, and then we're going to go forward in faith that this will be supported by the audience of SQPN through their gifts. So what we've been having our giving campaign. We're not quite where we want to be yet. I mean, honestly, there have been a lot of generous folks, but About 1% of everybody who listens is able to give. And we know that not everybody can give, but we know that probably more than 1% can give, and they just haven't heard the message at the right time. So if you could, if you have any extra time and a little extra money to give at the end of this year, especially if you have a you have any tax issues that tax deductible gifts that you want to give, SQPN is a 501c3 tax deductible nonprofit organization. If you go to sqpn.com/give, and you can make a one-time gift, or you can make a pledge, which is actually great if you can do a pledge. Then if we also have certain gifts at certain giving levels. So if you're able to give a certain amount, we have some books and related to our various shows that we'd love to send you as a thank you for your gift. So if you could go to sqpn.com/give, if you're listening to the podcast recorded right now, pause it right now, go to sqpn.com/give and make your pledge. If you're watching us live on Facebook, you can open up another window on the side. In fact, here's the link, folks, on the screen for sqpn.com/give. And we would greatly appreciate that. That would make a wonderful Christmas gift for us, for our in return for all the podcasts. And you know, so we got some great podcasts right now.
Yep.
In addition, as I mentioned, PlayStation Portable is one of the longest running podcasts out there. Jeff Vista has been producing this for more than a decade. I think since 2005. So like 13 years.
He's one of the first SQPN podcasts.
And this, he has been so faithful in producing this every day. There is a new, there are four mm-hmm. Four different podcasts for each of the hours in the Liturgy of the Hours every day available. And we listen to it in my family. We play it, my wife plays it, while she's making dinner or other stuff, and the kids listen to it. We all listen to it together. And it's such a wonderful, and more people should actually be downloading it. I'm surprised it doesn't have more people listening to it. And so I'm trying to get the word out about it. Yeah. But, you know, it's efforts like these things that your gift supports. So if you could do that, we'd greatly appreciate that. And that's all I have to say about it.
Well, very good. And, you know, and it's the reason why we do this fun drive and why we do these pitches as part of the podcast is because we don't just want to stay where we are now. We want to grow. And yes. We've got some podcasts that we're hoping to get going here in the new year. That we kind of want to promote a little bit and let you know, give you some teasers of what's coming forward.
Yeah, let me mention some of them. So right off the bat, we have a new podcast coming called Catholics of Oz. This isn't a Wizard of Oz podcast. This is Oz as in Australia. We have a great new podcast coming from our friends down in the Diocese. I might get this wrong, but I think it's the Diocese of Melbourne. In Australia, which
can't remember.
They're, for them, it's high summer. I'm not jealous at all.
No, not at all.
And it's Lindsay Sant, Caroline Knight, and Gerald. What is Gerald's? Sorry, folks. Unprepared. I'm unprepared for this. I'm going to pull up his name in a second. But they're going to be doing a new podcast looking at lots of similar things, the intersection of faith and pop culture. They're going to talk about their Catholic faith. They're going to talk about science. They're going to talk about, movies and TV shows and other pop culture things, but from a distinctly Australian perspective, which I think is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about how do we get them on this podcast, but given that they're on the other side of the planet where it's like in the middle of the night when we're recording, we're not sure how we're going to, but we'd love to get them on one of our other podcasts.
Actually, just figured out the other day, talking through our Slack channel, we have a SQPN internal Slack channel, and 9 o'clock in the morning there is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon mountain time.
Oh.
So it's actually not that unreasonable.
You could do that. Yeah. Yeah, that could happen.
I mean, we could figure it out in a way, because I'm looking forward to this podcast because, of course, most of our, if not all our shows are basically U.S. based. We're all in the United States. We all talk from a U.S. perspective, and be interesting to hear some of the same issues that we're looking at, but to see how they see them down there. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of overlap. There's going to be a lot of similarities. Our cultures are very similar, but they're not identical. There are differences in how we look at the world, and not just because they're on one side and we're on the other.
Yeah. In fact, we have SQPN has listeners all over the world, and we have supporters. We just got a gift recently, a new donor from India.
Wow.
Which was really nice, and so welcome. We've also got donors and listeners in Africa. So not even just the traditionally English speaking countries. We have, again, people all over the world, and so we love to have a diverse group of podcasts, from around the world. And so this is our first from Australia. So I'm really excited about it. And Alfredo says in the chat room that he started listening to the PlayStation after Dom mentioned it. It really helps. So that's awesome to hear, Alfredo.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have that to help with your prayer a little bit. So,
yeah.
What else are we working on here?
So this was another one. So we recently did a Secrets of Movies and TV Shows episode on the TV show Firefly, the much beloved, short lived sci-fi Western TV show. And it got such a great response, not just from the audience, but from the people making it, that we decided that, we need to do more of this. And in fact, there were several people, I think including yourself, Father Corey, who said, I wanted to be part of it and I couldn't. So what we're going to do is we're going to be doing a new Secrets of Firefly series, where we're going to be going episode by episode through each of the 13 episodes of the season, the one season that it had. And then we're going to do the movie Serenity and maybe another episode or two to wrap up and maybe talk about some of the ancillary material, like some books and comics. There have been a lot of books and comics over the years since then. So that's coming up after the new year, Secrets of Firefly. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one because I've been a fan. Of course, I'm one of those where I saw the previews on Fox, and of course the commercials made it look bad. I mean, horrible. Yes. Fox did it absolutely no favors whatsoever, which is par for the course for Fox. But
right.
And then afterwards, I hear how great it is, and I'm like, why didn't I watch this when it was airing?
Yes, and of course, Fox aired the episodes out of order when that first season, and they just completely mishandled it. What should have been one of the greatest science fiction TV shows ever, and it's amazing because nearly 20 years on, people still love this show. I mean, we're doing a podcast about this show, which was lasted for one season 20 years later.
It's got one season, one movie, and it's still going strong.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So that's another one we're doing, and then we've also got a couple others that we're working on, and if I look at the right thing, so we also have another show called Secrets of Technology. Now this is going to be fun, I think, and because it's a little, it's similar to what the other shows we do, but a little different. Where we're going to be looking at tech news. So some things like we talked earlier this year on Let's Talk with Devin Rose about blockchain and how blockchain technology can help the Catholic Church. And we realized that there is a missing perspective on technology news that is from a Catholic perspective. A lot of the technology news comes from a very particular, like, San Francisco, New York perspective.
Right.
Those two poles. I don't want to say it in a pejorative way because I don't mean it pejoratively, but from a particular political and cultural viewpoint,
right?
That's the perfectly valid, but there needs to be a more diverse set of viewpoints on these things, and so we're going to come at it from our particular viewpoint. And so we'll talk about things like Facebook and privacy. We'll talk about smartphones but the latest news, the news of the week that it comes through. And then we'll talk about gadgets and cool stuff that we're doing and interesting apps and that sort of stuff too.
Yeah, I mean there's so much out there we can talk about, and talk about it from a Catholic perspective, talk about it from our particular views. Now, we don't agree with everything that popular tech pundits say, they don't agree with everything right. we might say. Those who are watching might not agree with it, but you know, we can get that perspective out there to, you know, just to think about it, just to, you know, continue the discussion, as they would say. But also just because we want to talk about tech, we're geeks, you know.
Exactly.
For those who aren't watching the live stream, Dom's wearing an Apple shirt.
Yes, I've got my special. It's embroidered. I got this as a gift.
Oh wow, that's impressive.
I had a friend who worked at an Apple store and gave this to me as a birthday gift.
Nice.
I think it was like an employee only shirt, so yeah. Don't tell anyone.
Uh-oh. Ooh, too late.
He doesn't work there anymore, so.
No, but I mean, it's as a, we like to talk about tech, we like to use tech, and so we want to continue to do that. And this is a great way to do that, to have our own show. And there'll be panelists. I'll be one of the panelists. Of course, Dom's going to be the host. We're going to have a couple others. Joanne Mercier, who's been on Let's Talk quite a few times, she's going to be in here. A couple others have shown up. Some people that are known, some people who are newer. I can't say newer to SQPN, but haven't been on in a while. So,
yeah,
it'll be great.
And we'll have we'll have some new voices. I hope to get a couple of interesting perspectives. And we'll have a rotating panel. It won't be the same people every episode. And a lot of people don't say, a lot of people might not realize, but I listen to a lot of tech podcasts.
Right.
Probably at least a half a dozen a week. I'm very interested in technology. And so this has been something that's been, I've been talking back to them for ages.
Oh yeah.
and this is why we do what we do. So Brenda in the chat room says, I hope it's not too geeky. It won't be. The idea will be to break things down so that it's accessible. That's another big part of it. Is a lot of times these tech podcasts that are out there, the tech news, it's at a high level. We want to kind of bring it down and kind of break it open so that people
can. Yeah, when they throw out a sentence that's all acronyms and tech language, if you're not in their loop, you're not going to know what they're talking about. And we might get there, probably not. Or at least if we throw out that sentence, we'll then follow it up by saying, here's what we mean.
right. The aim is to make it accessible to a broad audience. I mean, that's what we're always about. So that's Secrets of Tech that we're going to be doing. So. And then there's some other stuff that's in the wings, and I can kind of hint at some of it. We have we're brewing right now a Catholic history podcast, or American Catholic history. Years ago, we had Father Seraphim on. He was a Franciscan priest who had a podcast of Catholic history. And it was great. People loved it. But this one, it would be a little different in that it'll focus on American Catholic history, and it will be kind of short. It'll be we're aiming for 5 to 10 minute episodes. A lot like the what we're going for is the Paul Harvey style, or even like if you know Mike Rowe, the guy who's famous from Dirty Jobs. He has a podcast where he does a similar thing where he tells a story in about 5 or 10 minutes. So that's coming. That's still in the works. We're not sure when that will come. And then we've got some others that are brewing, and we're always looking for, if people have ideas for podcasts, if they're interested in making a podcast, some of these podcasts that I mentioned have come in from outside ideas. People have approached us and said, hey, we're interested in doing a podcast and working with SQPN. And we're always, so if you have an idea for doing a podcast, let me know, contact me, you can email me. I'll put my, the link in the show notes. For my email address, just email me and we'll have a conversation.
Alfredo Barunda threw a great one in here. Secrets of Black Mirror.
I know.
That would be a fun one. That's kind of an interesting series.
We have to figure out how we would do that since it's like what's 4 episodes a season or 5 episodes a season.
And it's 3 seasons, 4 seasons right now. I think it's.
Yeah. And there's another one coming. There's some of the episodes have been somewhat difficult to watch.
Yeah.
That was. We'd have to think about how we would do that. But some of them have been amazing, have been awesome. And some of them have been scarily prescient, like the one about your social media score. Remember one where you get your social score? And then it turns out that China has said, hey, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, they watch the episode and say, let's implement that.
Black Mirror is dystopian. It's not supposed to be a place for good ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, that's a...
Yes.
Daniel in the chat room, Daniel Smirowski, who does the Special Chronicles podcast, asked about how we're doing this live stream. We're using the Ecamm Live software. It's a Mac software, and it's amazing. If you ever want to do a live stream on Facebook or YouTube,
for those who use Windows, there probably is a Windows equivalent. This is a Mac only software, but I'm sure there's Windows equivalents out there that can do the same thing.
There are. Yeah.
So, well, excellent. Well, this is a good place, I think, to switch over to our picks of the week, and I'll let you go first, Dom.
Well, given that we're talking about Christmas coming up, I have a Christmas movie to recommend. And by the way, this is a little bit of preview. This coming week, next Thursday, the 21st, I don't have my calendar up in front of me, we're going to have a new episode of Secrets of Movies and TV where we're going to be talking about the secrets of Christmas movies. We're going to have talk about some of our favorite Christmas movies, including Die Hard, which isn't my pick, but Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and I'll fight you if you disagree. I'm picking The Christmas Chronicles, which is a Netflix movie starring Kurt Russell as Santa. And let me tell you, I wasn't going to watch it, and then our friend Steve Nelson said, "Oh no, you check it out. It's pretty good." And I got to say, it's pretty good.
Yeah, nice.
it's a lot of fun. It's a slightly different take on the Santa story. I mean, it doesn't necessarily break new ground in Santa movies, Christmas movies, but it's a lot of fun. Kurt Russell as Santa is fun. Stevie Van Zandt from the E Street Band.
Yep,
it shows up and with doing music. I mean, there's a great musical interlude. A lot of fun.
Cool.
So check it out. And the fact that it takes place or starts off in Lowell, Massachusetts doesn't hurt. But it's a good one. So I would recommend that one.
Well, excellent. Yeah, that's one to put on the watch list. I think my Christmas watching might be a binge watching of all the Doctor Who Christmas episodes.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That'd be fun to do. I don't know. We'll see. By the way, spoiler for those who do watch or listen to our Secrets of Doctor Who podcast, we do have a Christmas episode that will release Christmas Eve. Watch for that. And it's one of the best, if not the best, Doctor Who Christmas episodes.
Yes, I think we all agreed it was the best.
We've already recorded it. It's ready to go once Dom gets it edited. No, I don't know if he already does or not. but it'll be a good listen. If you like Doctor Who and you like the Christmas episodes, this will be one to listen to. So excellent pick. I'll have to wait. I'm sure that movie will come to our theater here around Christmas time, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
For my pick, since we talked about Advent and Christmas carols and music, I've been a fan of the Catholic artist Matt Maher, who, of course, he's had success both in the Catholic world and in contemporary Christian world. Well, he recently, back in October, released The Advent of Christmas. It's an album of Christmas and Advent songs. About 13 Advent and Christmas songs. So there's the obvious one, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Jingle Bells, things like that. A little mix of everything. It's not just Christian songs. Again, Jingle Bells is a Christmas song, a holiday song more than anything else. But this week we had what they call morning devotions on our local radio station, and one of the songs I used was Gabriel's Message by Matt Maher, from that CD, and it's excellent. So I haven't picked up the whole CD yet, but just that one song was very well done. So I know that the rest of the CD should be absolutely excellent. It's one I'm going to put on my buy list. That's for sure.
I just bought it.
Just bought it. There you go.
If it's Matt Maher, I know I want it. I once had the amazing privilege of having, I used to do a radio program here in Boston, a Catholic radio show, and we had him in studio playing music.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And he was so awesome. It was one of my top five experiences on the radio, and so he was great. And so if it's a Matt Maher,
my great memories was going to World Youth Day in Poland, and they had the big night of prayer, night of celebration, whatever you want to call it, in the Tauron Center, which is, you know, it's an arena. It's, you know, it's where, like a basketball arena, something like that. Yeah. 20,000 people from, you know, high school up. And of course, we're all English speakers. This is the English speaking track.
Right.
And they had adoration with Matt Maher and Audrey Assad providing the music.
Wow.
And it was just absolutely incredible. Bishop Robert Barron was there. And of course, if you saw the video from World Youth Day where he's talking in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it was at that event. You know, where he talks about that priest that was martyred and everything. And it was just a powerful experience. And of course, Matt Maher's music really added to it, because he brings an energy when he gets, you know, he cranks up the volume, he gets rocking, he can really, you know, rock the house. But then when he quiets it down and he does more meditative music, it really is powerful. So I had to make sure to pick this CD, because I knew it would be a good one, knowing what he can do with different types of music.
Awesome. Yeah, we talked a few weeks ago about Advent music, preparing for Advent or preparing for Christmas during Advent with Advent music. So it's great to have more Advent music to get ready for Christmas.
Oh, awesome. CD sounds like a great Christmas gift. Yes, it does, Brenda. I wonder who you could buy it for. She's my director of religious education, so hinting for herself.
The pastor would love that.
The pastor would love that very much. So, no, we'll see what happens. But so that's my pick, Matt Maher. Well, Dom, awesome. Thanks for coming on. We were going to have a short episode. Yeah, that didn't happen.
When we get talking, who are we kidding? We're going to talk for an hour.
So, where can people find you, Dom?
So they can find me, of course, at SQPN on almost every podcast that we do. And we have some wonderful podcasts at SQPN.com, so please check them out. Or you can check out my blog. I have a blog at betnet.com, BETTNET.com, and that has links to all my social media and stuff. So,
well, excellent. And, of course, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find me here at Let's Talk at the Secrets of Doctor Who, Secrets of Star Trek, probably other places. If we get that Secrets of Technology going, you'll find me there once in a while. So I bounce around some of the podcasts here on SQPN as well. You can find me at my website, frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. Facebook is Father Corey Stika. Twitter is frcoreystika. I'm around. You can find me. Or you can find me in the middle of nowhere, Montana. Or not quite in the middle of nowhere, Montana. Pretty close. Close, though. If you want to send us feedback about this episode or any episode of Let's Talk, please do. We want to hear from you. That's why we started to do the live stream. We want to hear from you. Let's Talk, no apostrophe, no space, at sqpn.com. And again, we want to encourage you to support our giving campaign, sqpn.com/give. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.
This is Dom Bettinelli again. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that you'll help us keep producing the podcast you love. Thank you for your generosity. To make your pledge and find out about the free thank you gifts we'd like to send you, visit sqpn.com/give. That's sqpn.com/give.